we're back. 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. I don't know what to call that out there. If it's sunny, if it's kind of hazy, if it's just smoky. Maybe a combination of all three. So take a look out your window. Not a whole lot of sunshine right now. But we're talking 70 degrees. And I know there's a lot going on in Montana as far as wildfires and stuff. I think we're catching a little of that too, blowing over. Well, enough of the weather and things like that. It is time to talk with our favorite historian and a great storyteller, Jana Gageland, in with us here on this Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
You've been digging around and you found some things about Labor Day.
Yeah, you know, I think I talked about it once before, but with a digitalized newspaper, I can do a lot more because it looks at all the newspapers from back in 1907 at the same time. And so it'll pull out whatever the Globe Gazette, the North Dakota Globe, or the Times had, and then it'll give you that information.
So it's got some pretty intricate, like, filtering on it.
Oh, yes. Oh,
good,
yes.
Good, good.
It's awesome. I enjoy it. I spend maybe too much time on it.
When it comes to history, there's no such thing.
I don't think so.
It's too much time.
No. So anyway, like I said, I think I talked about it before, but, you know, looking at those older newspapers and having it collected, I found that in 1907... North Dakota started celebrating Labor Day.
Okay.
You know, if you look at the stuff that was in the newspaper earlier in, you know, last week, it was talking about 1894 when Congress said, yeah, go ahead, we'll make it a day, but, you know, it's up to you to decide if your state is going to do it. And I think 30 states fell in right away. Oregon was one of them, one of the very first ones. And I thought, why Oregon? And I, you know, I'm thinking that maybe it had something to do with the fact that they lived on the coast and they had a lot of shipping, because the Labor Day was a lot involved with union and fair wages and, you know, getting bit paid for your time and your the conditions of working. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where it started on the West Coast. Definitely started on the East Coast. And then, you know, we got agriculture. We work for ourselves, you know, and they didn't care. They paid what they could pay themselves.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
So I think that's why we were a little behind. However, in the Globe Gazette in 1907, they said Labor Day was a good, hard working day in the Globe Gazette office. So they didn't go very far.
So they had to work.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Laboring away.
Right. And then 1910, it says that a great day of rest. And this is, you know, again from the Wahpeton paper. It says, a great stillness prevailed in and around the courthouse Monday as a result of the annual arrival of Labor Day. Some of the officials were to be found in their own offices, however, deep down in the record. So sometimes they took that day just to use it as a catch-up, probably, from other things that were going on. But we also had people who motored to Fargo to take in the Labor Day celebration. So maybe Fargo had something going, you know, and we just would go there. But, you know, most of the time when I was looking, I couldn't find anything about any celebration. It was so-and-so went to the lake for a picnic. These people went to this house and visited.
Sure.
I mean, so there was a lot of that. Somebody came for the three-day weekend. And, you know, so always that. And
more of a gossip column.
Yeah. But, I mean, they didn't really have, you know, celebrations that were set aside and said, you know, come here kind of thing. But then we skip ahead, of course, to 1947, when you have the Morton Community Club establishing their annual event.
Here we go.
Oh, I know.
Here we go.
You know, and as a kid, you know, we would load up in the car and we'd drive to Morton. We'd take in the parade.
Parade, the street dance, the derby.
Yes.
Out there.
Yes.
Yeah, just to bring them in from all over.
Oh, they had more people than they had room for. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of got to be a problem after a while. But that was the only thing that was going on, you know.
Sure.
So then in 1947 they started. It was kind of a, you know, slow takeoff, so to speak. But by 1950 they had, St. Anthony's was serving dinners and lunches. There was a parade. And there was a doll buggy contest. So it kind of reminded me of, like, a 4-H thing or a county fair.
Sure.
You know, they had tricycle races and, of course, the tournament. WDAY was down there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they covered that in local news, you know. So later on, you know, the Morton, you know, morphed into more things like turkey shoots. And then they had their plays because they figured it was too expensive to bring in outside talent.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have their own plays that they put on, sometimes written by them, too.
They just had their turkey shoot
on
Labor Day. Yeah, so that's still going on.
Well, that's good. There's no parade.
No, nope. But still got the turkey shoot.
Well, that's encouraging because some of the other events have gone to the bag farm.
Mm-hmm.
They had raffles. They gave away, like, big prizes, TV sets, cars, a boat, a motor, and a trailer. And then remember that trip to Hawaii?
Yes.
They gave that away, too. So, I mean, they were all in. Yeah, they didn't.
Well, it just kept growing and growing and growing, and every year just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Well, and you didn't find people so much motoring, you know, to the lake or for a picnic or to visit these relatives. A lot of them went to the celebration that was now 3 days.
Sure.
And so I think the parade was actually on Monday.
Okay.
Just remembering from being in the high school marching band.
I think you're right.
And it was always Monday. It was like, oh, you know, here we go. School hadn't even started yet.
And definitely the official, I mean, to all of us, the official end of summer.
Yes,
official end of summer. That was the last big hurrah.
Yep, and the start of school.
Right.
You know, back in that time, those times, school always started after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's only recently that it hasn't. So I tried to find something about sales, you know, because every once in a while you'll see something on the TV or radio. There'll be so-and-so, this business is having a Labor Day sale,
mm-hmm.
you know, so now you have people going to shop. You know, they did something on Channel 6 WDAY about, you know, people going to West Acres and just looking for something to do.
Sure.
You know, so I don't think we're quite as mobile because we have other things that will draw us in. But I didn't find a lot of sales even through 1962.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Which that would be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd think. But, you know, that's a while ago.
Right.
Okay. Do we have time yet?
Yes.
Okay. So every time I looked up Labor Day, this is what showed up on all the different things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It said, why are you not allowed to wear white after Labor Day?
Please explain this to me.
And every single site had the same response. Wearing white represented that you could afford to get out of the city and vacation elsewhere when summer ended. Since Labor Day typically represented the end of summer, a rule was established that you shouldn't wear white after Labor Day if you didn't have the money to take a fall and winter vacation.
Oh, come on.
That's what it said.
Seriously.
Yes, and it's like they all said the same thing, and I'm like, who made this rule, number one?
Yes, please. I'd like to know the author.
Yeah. So was it travel agencies? Was it just people who could afford to do that,
mm-hmm.
you know? I don't know. And then I think of, you know, even like going to church, you can't wear white shoes after Labor Day. After Labor Day. And then I think, well, but they have clothes that are called winter white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not white. It's winter white.
Winter white.
Yeah.
Must be a difference.
It must be. I think that rule sort of has gone away.
Yeah.
I'm not in favor of the white shoes, but, you know, why can't I wear a white sweater?
Well, and how are you going to, you know, okay, you can't, but who's going to enforce it?
Right.
They got a fashion police going to come and arrest you.
But, you know, I still look around, I'm sure, I will now, after Labor Day, and, oh, you know, and then there's that commercial where the guy is sitting on the beach eating a piece of licorice, and he's, why can't I wear white after Labor Day?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
It's like, wow. So that was my topper, like, why? You know, why can't you do that? So I'm going to be looking, but I'll probably be wearing it too.
Okay, yeah, me too. Definitely. Jenna, great to have you in
here. It's good.
It's always fun. Keep digging around.
I did.
I love this because, you know, I'll get an email from Jenna going, hey, I think I found something here. So, yeah, keep digging around and hopefully see you next Thursday.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Jenna Gageland talking Wapton history here. It's 8:17, Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Good morning.
Often the size of the fish grows each time you tell the story. The roller coaster gets a little taller, and the starry night sky gets even starrier. That's because the magic of some Minnesota moments is hard to put into words. the memories that become part fact, part feeling, but 100% real. Plan your dream trip at exploreminnesota.com. Sponsored by Explore Minnesota Tourism, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Sue from Beta Seed. Thanks again for agreeing to this ride-along.
Sure.
Sugar beets are crazy. Did you know they had to be bred specifically to even become an annual? Hmm? Ours have the best trait spread in, too. We grow millions of stecks a year for that.
Stecks?
Baby beet plants.
Oh.
Stecks are key. Huh, I could go on and on.
I bet.
At Beta Seed, every seed is fueled by decades of wisdom. It's complex science, which our breeders are pretty excited about.
Hand crossing is the real magic. First,
Beta Seed, breeding confidence.
Headwaters Day, Saturday, September 10th in Wells Memorial Park. Parade starts at 10 from Farm City to Wells Memorial Park. Taco in a bag by St. Mary's Youth Group. Food booths, 15 plus vendor information booths. Rock wall, bouncy house obstacle course, face painting, music, and much, much more. Miles for max 5K walk run. Wells Park, 9 a.m. 1, used book sale. Breckenridge Library. It's the annual Headwaters Day, Saturday, September 10th in Wells Memorial Park. Join us for a fun-filled day for all ages.
This is Kelly from Farm City Supply. If you're feeling like Paul Bunyan this fall, stop in and check out the selection of chainsaws available right here in Breckenridge. We have both gas and battery-powered chainsaws. From 12-inch all the way up to 28-inch, we have Echo gas-powered saws to fit every job.